Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Well, it's Wellness Wednesday again. Welcome everybody to the show. This is the Elder Care Radio brought to you by Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. Andy, as we approach the final, well, not the final holiday of the holiday season, but the most commercialized.
And celebrated, yeah.
Yeah. How are you? Know, how's your holiday season wrapping up here?
Maybe I've been a little grinchy. I haven't really been in the Christmas mood just yet. The election fraud stuff, and then the COVID-19, and the lockdowns in some of the states, and everything. It's hard to get Christmassy, don't you think? I mean, we got the tree up and stuff. We've got the stockings hung by the chimney with care and stuff. But
yeah, it is. It has been a tough year.
This is going to be a really different year. All the holidays are.
Yeah. That being said, put the Christmas music on in the car, turn on the toasty warm seat warmers and the heater in the car, and drive around and just look at those beautiful Christmas lights.
Do you have a favorite, Kaylee, a Christmas song that you like to listen to?
I like Drummer Boy. I know this is weird. I like to really have an emotional movement with music.
That doesn't surprise me at all, actually.
So I like Drummer Boy. I love Silent Nice. Night. Oh Holy Night, probably one of my favorites.
Not I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. That doesn't make the list.
Well, that's fun. I don't know. I really, really love. Okay, wait. Baby, It's Cold Outside.
That's a good
What's
one.
That one?
Yeah.
I love that one.
I think we all know that one.
That one has been remade by like 30 times by different artists over the years.
I like the old one with Dean Martin. Was it Dean Martin that sang it?
Maybe. Probably.
Oh, my gosh. It just makes me laugh. It chuckle.
And I always, that one, unless you're watching somebody do a stage production behind it, is lacking something. But it's all the dancing and, that kind of stuff that one interesting.
I guess I have a vivid imagination. I imagine the action behind the music.
Well, today it's Donny Osmond's birthday.
Did not really.
So I wonder if Donny and Marie ever did it on their show because the song was, that was released back in like the
50s. I'm sure my sister Cheryl knows that. She used to draw Donny Osmond pictures, and I had to have them hanging in my room on every wall.
any guess on how old Donny is today?
Got to be
64.
63, yeah. And his big hit Puppy Love, he was 14 years old when that came out.
Yep. Cute. That's fun.
My sister was a big fan at one point.
Purple socks and everything.
Oh, yep. Yeah. I worked in Las Vegas, and he came into a Judy's Clothing boutique where I was working. And my big moment was we had purple socks on the shelf.
Really?
I ran and got purple socks. I was like, did you come in for the purple socks? He was like, yeah, no, not really.
But thank you anyway.
Yeah.
So, and we've got so many things that have happened. So in the, what happened in palliative care this week, we've a couple of different, stories that came together that, reaffirmed our concern and the problem that we see that exists here. One of the, organizations, that we work with, federal organizations that helps track, good quality care, has a requirement to do some filings regularly and
customer service surveys.
Right. And we asked them.
Let me explain. So it's an independent company that you have to hire that will do completely independent questionnaires of all of your patients' families after a patient passes.
Oh, cool.
So
that's kind of nice, right?
You hire a company and that way it's not you doing them, and they make phone calls, send letters. They do ask quality questions about the care to make sure that we're all meeting standards and all providing good customer care. And so they called us trying to, get us to hire them to use their company to do our survey.
And we got into the discussion about, our care and the question came up because for us, the time that we have patients on is pretty extensive. We try and start early and we try and provide great care, but we ask the question and the phrase is average daily census.
Average daily what?
Census. Or average daily patient census. That's the number of patients you have on on any particular day.
Is this
and the length of time.
ADC. So we're going to acronyms again?
Average daily sales? That wasn't my plan, but I guess, yeah, that makes sense. So it really comes down to the number of days a patient is on hospice. And we just asked, you know, so most of the other companies in town, what's their average daily census? Mm-hmm. And it was surprising to us that she said average 8 days.
Eight.
8 days.
Wow.
Which it corresponds with all the information we have from other sources federally. But it is so sad that, you know, people are not getting the service that they could, that somehow there's a disconnect between the benefits of hospice and the application of those benefits.
Well, see, and what you're saying is they're getting the hospice. They're not getting the palliative care.
Correct.
That's right.
You're right. You're right.
They're getting
almost
nothing.
They're just not having the time to enjoy life, right? They're mm-hmm. still, it's still got a scary feeling behind it that it means I'm giving up, I'm quitting, and it's absolutely not. It's living your highest and very best quality of life.
Well, and let's be honest, when you're down to 8 days left, your quality of life already has degraded to the point there where they're just managing your death instead of managing
and really
what's left
sadly,
of your life.
There's no time to, I guess, check things off of your bucket list, spend time with your family, say those things that need to be said to eliminate any regret or remorse.
And all the time before that 8 days, and that's really the issue, is there's so much time before that where it is just normally for many people just a struggle, just you know, repetitive task of terrible things, and they have no help. So if we were to be able to broaden that window and get there 30 or 60 or 90 days before that, not only do we make that such a much better life, but it's been proven over and over again that proper hospice and proper palliative care add time and quality time. So I believe the numbers were, you know, 30 days are added.
It's more than 30 days. According to CMS, it's more than 30 days with good hospice care.
Right.
And can be added to your extend your life. And a good palliative program can extend it more than 60 days.
Right. So
do you mind me asking what your average time on for pathway is?
We're approaching 6 months. On average.
That's incredible. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
And not everybody is able to make that whole 6 months. Obviously, you know, we take patients when they come and under any condition that they are in. But then, of course, we have other patients that have extended long over that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And remember, you don't lose your benefits. So really, I would say that our average really for those patients that come to us because of the radio show really have a longer monthly average. But we do still receive those last-minute patients from mm-hmm. doctors where literally, I mean, they come out just to say goodbye to their family.
And I could see someone listening to the show going, well, you have someone on hospice for 6 months. That must be very expensive for them.
Free.
It's free. That's the thing. That's the thing that people don't understand.
Oh, yeah. Their expenses really diminish because there's no more co-pays. There's no more pre-qualifications, you know, trying to beg to continue on service. It's no more worry. It's supposed to be stress-free.
It's incredible.
So we hope that everybody listening to this radio program is starting to see that. And we know that the other 10% of this community that isn't listening probably doesn't know it yet. So we hope that you'll share that information with people. And then we have another story from this week. On Sunday, a nurse from a different hospice company shared a personal story they were transitioning a patient from home health. They'd been on home health for quite some time, but they had declined. And so at the point that they had transferred them over, she goes out to do the paperwork and the intake, getting all the paperwork done and doing an assessment of the patient. And she got there, did the assessment of the patient, sat down with the wife to do some of the paperwork part of it, and then went back in to check on the husband, and the husband had passed.
Oh, my goodness.
Within minutes on hospice. That would be the average minute census on that hospice. And her story was that she was so thankful that she could be there at the moment that that happened to help the wife, because the wife certainly had a huge grieving response. And so she was there to help. And we appreciate that that's what she wanted to be there for.
Well, that is a beautiful story that they were there to support and love the wife through such a difficult time. imagine how much better it could have been had that patient had the opportunity to focus on a higher quality of life, to share experiences with their family. One of the things that I really regret when I lost my mom is I didn't have her voice on any record. About a year after she passed, I was just really yearning to hear her say my name. Nobody said my name like she did. Mm-hmm. She was from England. She had a deep, thick English accent. And nobody said Kaylee like she did. And I searched everywhere for something, just trying to grasp at something, find some recording, some message that had her voice on, and couldn't find it. So one of the things that we've really encouraged people to do, Richard, you can...
Yeah, this holiday season, make a recording. Record something. And don't let this get, you know, to be too big of a thing, but just record a message to anybody. Your own thoughts, either those of your own or those of a loved one. If you can get a recording of a loved one, do that. No matter what age. I mean, if you're 97 years old, then create a record of your history. And if you're only 13... start recording your experiences and thoughts so that those can become part of your history.
One of the things that I treasure right on this topic, Richard, is, you know, my mom passed away this past summer, and my dad took over her phone. She had an iPhone, so he's using her phone now. But when he doesn't answer, it goes to voicemail, and he did not change the voicemail. It's my mom's voice saying, and just in the sweetest way that she always did, you know, sorry I missed your call. Is there anything I can do for you? You know, that kind of message. And I love talking to my dad. But I like it sometimes when he doesn't answer, too.
I can imagine calling and saying, don't answer the phone this time. I just want to hear my mom's voice.
I have actually told him that.
I just want to hear her voice. Yeah, there's something very, you know, warm and special about that. So take this opportunity to do that. This is a perfect time of year. Maybe share a sweet message personally with, you know, your loved ones. Tell a story about... you know, a favorite experience or time shared with a daughter or sister.
Right. So if you're a parent, then here are a couple of options. Take 20 minutes and record your love and hopes for them in 2021. Just a simple message. Or if, you know, tell them, express to them what they've done, your kids, express to them what they've done that have made you so proud. You know, give some of those examples. Or record some of your own childhood memories. Those are all great things. And we don't need to make this, you know, harder than it needs to be. Just record something.
Well, we had a patient. This is a big thing for us. We really think this is important. So we had shared this with one family, and the wife was overwhelmed. I wouldn't know how to do recordings to each person. I think that it's a wonderful idea, but I would just be at a loss. It's overwhelming. I can't think about that. So we actually have a book of topics, little one-liner things that kind of start the conversation. So an example might be, one of the very best things about having you in my life is getting to see you, and then you just start writing from there. So those kind of examples just kind of get the conversation started. And if you have it on a recording, then your loved ones have that forever.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people are concerned, well, if I start this recording, I may not have something to say. Well... let's break that down. Just start the recording and let's see if that's the result. And if it is, we can go back and make some modifications. But if we don't do anything until we have everything just perfect, we're never going to do anything. So, you know, some other general examples, if you're a son or daughter, take 20 minutes and share your love and appreciation for your parents, or tell them you appreciate one of the things that they taught you. Now, I think we can all think of something. And just expound on that. And don't set a time limit. Just make that comment.
Wouldn't it be great if we could hear our eulogies while we were still alive?
Yeah.
Because they're always, you know, pay such beautiful tribute. Wouldn't it be really wonderful to actually hear what somebody wanted to say about you, their deep, heartfelt thoughts of appreciation and accolades of what they love about you and stories and memories that they cherished about you?
Or again, as a son or daughter, thank them for an experience that you remember, whether that's a vacation or just an event. We're just talking to somebody in the studio here that talking about, as a family, they get together and play card games all the time. And that's one of those things that are gonna be memorable for them. So
We could try that, but a fight would break out in my family.
There's a lot of yelling and screaming at our house.
It's friendly fight. It's fun. Yeah. It's so fun.
And don't forget your siblings. If you know, if you have siblings and you want to express to them some ideas, would be, you know, tell them you support them in everything that they do, or thank them for the support that they gave you, you know, when you were a child or last week, whenever that was. So there are just certain things that if we just start with an idea, just a seed of a concept, and we put it down, then we'll have that recording. Now, here are the things we have to consider. We don't have to make this perfect. It is important that perfection is not what we're looking for, because there's an axiom accredited to Voltaire, and that was, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good, which was from some French treatise, but he actually copied an Italian proverb. And that proverb was, the best is the enemy of the good. And what does that mean? Well, if all we're going to do is focus on the best thing before we're willing to do anything, let's say that we, you know, found that we knew a family that was hungry, and to say, okay, I want to make this the best possible experience. So I really think the fresh seafood off the docks in Maine would be a good idea. So I'm going to get a couple of airplane tickets and go and come back. And then, of course, we need to have some fresh farm stand vegetables. And right now in December, there are no farm stands open. So we're going to wait till spring. You know, you go through that because you want to make it the best experience possible, and we're too late.
Right. But just bringing some extra groceries when you were at the store already and dropping them off would be, have the same heartfelt sentiment and be good enough.
Yeah. Or just open the cupboards and say, okay, spaghetti. Let's go make spaghetti and take some over to them to show them, because, and this is the important thing, this first effort doesn't have to be our only effort. It's just our first try. So using that experience, if we get them fed, then yes, we can go back on occasion and share more experiences with them and make or more memorable occasions with that hungry family. Same thing with our family. We can, if we share some small experience, then the next time we do this, we'll be better at it, and we will provide a broader experience. We also, another key thing to remember is, it doesn't have to be perfect. It also doesn't have to be complete. We don't have to say, okay, so I've got to cover everything. I've got to come up with all the details of this story, you know, the address of the house that I lived in so that people can verify that. No, that doesn't matter. Just start telling a story. And if we tell that one story, however brief it is, and let's say we were going to do this as an annual event, you know, just this recurring, what I'm looking for?
Experience.
Experience or ritual, or, you know, just the annual thing that we
tradition.
Do.
Tradition.
That's my word.
Great one.
Yeah. So if it's our annual tradition to do these recordings, then the next one we can add to the story that we told the last year, or we can tell a totally different one. But what we're trying to do is build this library of messages that people can take in any way they want.
But having experienced that, let me just remind you that anything would have been treasured. Any message from my mom, any recording. So just put your voice on the record. My dad was somebody that memorized poetry, and he would say these, you know, silly, silly poems every, you know, all the time, especially on a Saturday morning when he was cooking breakfast. And I miss those. I've looked them up and I've found them and said, oh my gosh, I remember this one, but it's not the same as him saying it. So as silly as he may have felt to just sit there and, you know, two dead men in the middle of the night.
Two dead boys in the middle of the night. Got a fight.
And I mean, just these silly
back to back
things.
They faced each other, drew the swords, shot each other. Yeah. And
so it's just these silly little things. If he would have just said them while they were on a recording, I would have had that. Would have been great for me to share with my kids. So just remember how important just having your voice on record, sharing a sweet little message, letting your child know that you love them, letting a sibling know that you love them. Just record your sweet messages. You might not think they're important, but they will make a really big impact on your loved ones.
All right, so it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be complete. And it doesn't have to be shared with everybody. In fact, it doesn't have to be shared with anybody. All we're doing is going through the effort of putting something in a recording. And once the recording's done, then we can consider our other options. Don't think, well, I, I don't want to do this because I don't want to tell this one story to everybody, or I'm not sure how it's going to sound, so I don't want to commit to giving it out. I'm not committing to anything other than just recording something. And you can record it again and fill in some of the blanks, but if you don't feel that it's something you want to share, then just put it away somewhere that somebody may find later. You know, being able to dig through that, you know, we've long history here of people writing journals and just families having those journals later to go from. And it's not that they were all great writers. It's that they all just made an effort to record those events. And it brings that that history to life and gives people some perspective. We really think it's important that this season, record yourself, record your loved ones. Come up with a way to start that tradition and build people's lives.
Maybe as you gather in small groups, whether that be by Zoom or, you know, in person with your immediate family, maybe just put an audio recorder in the room somewhere or around the room so that you have several, so that nobody even knows that they're on recording, especially if you have a special loved one that's, you know, you don't often get to visit with. Record those experiences so that you have them later.
Yeah, it's you don't have to have a studio microphone and a mixing board and all kinds of equipment. You don't have to have three video cameras running, you know, to get different angles. Because if we look at the popular videos today from, you know, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram.
It's off of a phone recorder.
Yeah, it's
our
just a phone.
Phones are great technology.
And many of them are quite bad. But people don't care. It's not the background that matters. It's the message. I mean, if we look at a greeting card, does it really matter the picture on the front, or is it the handwritten message inside that's more important to us? And so just be willing to share those messages. We think that's a great idea. So we could go on with that. We hope that that assignment is something you guys will all take into consideration this week. And then we don't have much time, so I've got one other, and we didn't cover COVID. So while we'd like to make this COVID good news, the reality is this kind of COVID bad news that you won't hear about, and we want you to know. We happen to come into possession of an inter-office memo from our local hospital, who was quite gleeful that because of COVID, the obligations and rules have changed, and they no longer have to do any recommendations to third parties, and that they are going to, for everybody who is leaving the hospital, they get to just require that they use existing service. So it's important for
their service.
Yeah, so they're going to
keep everything in-house.
They're going to refer to their own services only. They don't have to give choices right now.
I think what's really important is to remember that with Medicare really is all about beneficiary's choice. So the law is that the hospitals must give you options, a minimum of three options, including, and then they can add theirs. But they no longer feel like they have to do that. And so you're being denied your options. So know that you still have options. Ask credit questions and do your own research. Find the most appropriate place for your home health and hospice needs.
Our phone number, 435-477-6999. And we just realized for those of you who have landlines, you may have to dial a one. If you've called us and didn't get through, try dialing with a one. Don't know why. 435, the easiest number to remember, 477-6999.
We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call for all of your questions and concerns. We're happy to meet with you and let you know what palliative care really can be.